Welcome to 3GT, the podcast for three guys, a pastor, a professor, and a parishioner discuss theology from a practical standpoint, all from a Reformed perspective. Find out more at 3GT.xyz.
Well, we're thankful that you have tuned in to another episode of 3GT. That's Three Guys Theologizing. This is Barry York, president of Reformed Presbyterian Theological Seminary out in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And I am joined with my regular friends and co-hosts, Pastor Kyle Borg from the Winchester Reformed Presbyterian Church out in Kansas, Elder Scott Hunt from Marion, Indiana. I'm glad to be back together with these guys.
Barry, you can mute him, right? Can't you?
Yeah, I think I do have that power here. I'll have to figure out how to use that button.
You don't want to mute me. You want to be thankful for my presence on this podcast.
And I am.
How sweet. And you've helped me to segue into our topic of the day. As we're recording this, and probably around the time you'll be listening to it, we're entering into that time in the fall that we know as Thanksgiving. And we're thinking about all that the Lord has done to bless us as his people. Perhaps in your congregation, you'll have a Lord's Day service, committed more to offering thanks to the Lord, or maybe even a special Thanksgiving service. So we just wanted to spend this particular episode of 3GT discussing this topic of Thanksgiving. And let me just start it off this way. We'll talk about a little bit on the personal level, and then we'll move up to the ecclesiastical level, I guess I'll call it. But do you guys... I'm sure you enjoy this particular holiday. Is this a time where you gather only with friends, or do you have church celebrations, or do you keep a quiet, private family affair? What do you do during Thanksgiving?
Well, I know we get together with family usually on Thanksgiving Day and do the American thing where we eat too much and then take a nap, maybe watch a little bit of the Detroit Lions game. But
well, that's a pretty sad way to spend the day.
And usually there's a Thanksgiving psalm sing that the churches in Indiana try to get together and do. I doubt we'll be able to do that this year, given all the nonsense that's going on. But mm-hmm. That's usually how we spend it. We stay local and do the church, the psalm sing and worship and. So it's not a grand production in my household, but it is something that we appreciate, some time to be together.
I appreciate the question. I don't fully understand it. Just rewind. You used the word holiday, and I'm not sure what a holiday is, but we do celebrate Thanksgiving in our house. Actually, interestingly, so Thanksgiving is kind of fun in the community of Winchester. So usually on Thanksgiving week, this year it was canceled, but there's a big community turkey meal at the community center. And Rachel usually helps do the prep for that. I've always been asked since being pastor to come pray for that. So our family enjoys that. And then on
Kyle, is that meal for everyone, or is it especially geared toward the needy?
It is for everyone. It really began in some ways in a small rural community. It was a time for the community to gather in thankfulness for harvest. Mm. You know, the farmers were all done, and now as a community, we're going to be thankful together. And so that's it's a wonderful. It's one of my favorite traditions that we do here. And then the local churches always have a Thanksgiving Eve service. Again, that's canceled this year. And it alternates between being hosted in our church building or in the United Methodist Church building. And I think that's been going on for about 120 years. And so this is going to be the first time in 120 plus years that we're not having that service. But then our family on Thanksgiving Day, we just stay local. We usually celebrate on our own. We do a movie marathon, and Rachel whips up a phenomenal meal. This year, we're having some friends over, just people unable to travel to see family. We thought, let's open our doors and let people that don't have a place to go to come celebrate with us. So that's usually what we do.
Mm-hmm. What movie? What kind of movies do you watch?
Well, now you're really going to get me in trouble. So the standing tradition for the last however many years has been the all 8 movies in the Harry Potter series.
That's like 24 hours, right?
Yeah, it's a lot. We start Thanksgiving Eve after our Thanksgiving Eve service, and then we watch all. And when we watch, I can't keep my eyes on the TV that long, but it's always in the background. So that's what we've done. Send your letters of complaint to Scott Hunt. I don't want to hear it. I don't care what
your attorney.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well, for years and years, our family would go and usually spend the day with our families in Indiana and Michigan, especially Miriam's parents, I remember. And more recent years, I guess I'm becoming more the granddad figure here. So we have at our home, although a lot of our kids aren't going to be around this particular Thanksgiving. We'll have a couple of our younger ones. And so we have some people, a neighbor and some folks coming over for the day. So we're looking forward to that.
Barry, in being the grandfather figure, just total quick question here. You know, do you don a cute cardigan sweater like Scott wears? That just seems very grandfatherly. And I just wondered, do you do that?
Only if Miriam lays it out for me. I mean, she tells me what to wear, and I just wear it.
Wow.
As an aside, Kyle, just so you don't think that somehow you're smarter than everybody else, I walked into court one day, and I wasn't supposed to be in the courtroom that day, and I had on a cardigan sweater. And the defense attorney looks at me and says, "Good to see you, Mr. Rogers." So, listen, I hear it enough. You don't hurt my feelings. You can keep saying stuff about my cardigan sweaters. That's God, just hurt, fine. I'm thankful that I'm warm.
God, hurt your feelings? How was that communicated to you, Scott? Go on, Barry. Go on. That was Scott's aside.
Boys. I remember as a pastor, one of the things that I enjoyed doing a lot, usually the Sabbath day, the Lord's Day before Thanksgiving, was having a children's sermon where I invited the children up to the front and had a piece of paper with numbers on it to write down all the things they were thankful for. And just listening to the little kids go around the circle and give thanks was just always a joy. And they would add to the list. And sometimes you had to guide them along a little bit, not to all say the same thing, but it was always just a joy to hear what young children are thankful for.
But you know, with that, you know, children just have such a knack to teach us what gratitude is, don't they? I mean, you know, I think about that often when if we have a prayer meeting at church or something, or kids are just thankful for everything. I mean, as an adult, it kind of rebukes me, you know, like, thank you for the sunshine and thank you for the new pair of shoes that I got and thank you for this. And so I love that. I just, children abound with gratitude.
Well, that's actually what I was going to say, but you said it better than I would have anyway, so that's okay. But I did want to say that there is this natural joy that arises from children thanking the Lord and listening to them thank the Lord creates that joy. And, you know, this is one of our Christian duties, is to give thanks. We're commanded to do this throughout the scriptures. Psalm 100 talks about giving thanks unto the Lord. Or you think about the admonition of the Apostle Paul in Thessalonians that we're to, in everything, give thanks. And why is this such an important Christian practice to give thanks? Again, we know we're supposed to do it. We have a particular time of the year when we perhaps pay more attention to it than others. But again, the Lord says that we're to do it in everything, and it really sounds like all the time. So why is this so important for us as believers?
I think before Scott gives us a brilliant answer, you know, gratitude and thankfulness is actually just, to put it this way, it's written on the spiritual DNA of a Christian. It's interesting when you actually look at what the defining marks, the defining characteristics of a non-Christian is, it is thanklessness. and primarily a thanklessness toward God. So you think of Romans chapter 1, where the Apostle Paul describes in detail, you know, this is what humanity has become in sin. And Paul talks in that chapter about the way in which people, men and women, have given up natural desires for unnatural desires to do things that nature itself forbids. You think of the way that chapter progresses, where Paul says, look, they're filled with all manner of unrighteousness and evil and covetousness and malice, envy, murder, strife, deceit, maliciousness, gossip, slanders, haters, insolent, haughty, so on and so forth. But when you actually follow the logic of Paul, all of that is really the fruit of thanklessness. Paul talks in Romans chapter 1, although in verse 21, although they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him. Thanklessness is a characteristic of a non-Christian, thanklessness toward God. Mm-hmm. And I think we really need to take that seriously, you know, to put it very bluntly, to be thankless toward God is a sin that condemns our souls for eternity because God deserves it. So when he recreates us, when he makes us new by the gospel, he rewrites that DNA so that by nature, we are people who are thankful.
And sharing that, Kyle, you just reminded me of an incident. This is a number of years ago, back when I was in seminary. I was teaching at the University of Pittsburgh, and I had a friend, and he was an atheist, but he was the kindest guy. And we spent a lot of time together, played ball together and things. But I remember at Thanksgiving time that at one point he said something along the lines of just how thankful he was for his life. And, you know, in the moment I just said, well, to whom are you thankful? And you could see sort of a stunned look on his face because he wanted to express his thanks to someone, but because he was saying he was atheist, he didn't really have someone that could be directed towards. So what you're saying is really, really important.
And I think that gets to the heart of thankfulness. When you stop and consider what you should be thankful for and what Thanksgiving is, you realize your place of neediness before the Lord. And this is kind of the flip side of the coin from what Kyle has said, there's no way you can approach the Lord in haughtiness with thanksgiving. I mean, thanksgiving, it's by its very nature is humble and contrite and just full of praise for the one who gives us all things. So as Kyle said, you know, the Lord changes our DNA to make us thankful. And when we stop and think about all the things that he has done for us, given to us, provided through Jesus, his son, I mean, it shouldn't have any other effect but to cause us to stop dead in our tracks and fall on our knees in thanksgiving and sing his praises. Because we realize how needy of a people we are. And the way that we express that is in gratitude and thanksgiving and mm-hmm. psalm and in praise, out giving thanks to the Lord among the nations. Mm-hmm.
And I think with that, you know, Barry, you referenced 1 Thessalonians 5:15, mm-hmm. you know, or verse 18, maybe give thanks in every circumstance. You know, the Apostle Paul there he's saying that there is no circumstance and no situation that we could ever face in life for which we don't have reason to still be thankful to God. That's a hard thing to say when you count up the trials and the sorrows and the sufferings of life. And yet here it is, it's the heart of the Christian life. There's nowhere we could ever find ourselves where we wouldn't have something to be thankful to God for. And like Scott said, it's kind of that second nature. You know, we are not saved because of thankfulness. We're saved by grace alone. But one does not apprehend that grace of God in Christ Jesus without a degree of thankfulness, or as Scott said, without a degree of humility. You know, it's kind of part and parcel with coming to a saving knowledge of God is look at what he has done for me in and through the Lord Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm. Of course, the distinction we often hear made is that we can always have reason to give thanks in every circumstance, even if we don't necessarily have to give thanks for a particular tragedy or trial that we're going through. But there's always the Lord's hands always at work for his people, and we should be seeing that. This is in you're both are leading in this direction, but let me just follow along with this. There's certainly just something Christian about giving thanks. And talk a little bit here about the importance of this in worship, perhaps in regular corporate worship, why we should be having times of giving thanks, and then even special times of worship where we give thanks.
I think part of giving thanks is remembering. When you give thanks, you generally you're looking back on how the Lord has dealt graciously with you in a circumstance, even if it hasn't been a pleasant circumstance. You realize how good the Lord has been to you and blessed you in many ways. God always calls us to remember. He starts a lot of, you think of the book of Matthew. I mean, the first chapter is a book of remembering the genealogy, remembering where they came from. Part of the Ten Commandments is remembering that you were a slave in Egypt. So this idea of remembrance, I think, coincides with Thanksgiving. I don't know where I was going with that, but there's this idea of remembrance and Thanksgiving. I believe the Lord calls us to do both, and I think they're very intertwined.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think with that, so I'm going to get to answering your question, but I'm going to use an illustration first. You know, I remember when I was a little boy, I didn't have the world's greatest relationship with my grandparents. And I remember they gave me $5 for my birthday once, and I forgot to write a thank you letter. And my grandpa called me and, you know, how could you not do that? When I give you money, you be sure to thank me. I want to be clear that as we talk about the need to thank God, he's not a grumpy grandpa who, you know, in that sense is looking for his dues, as if, you know, it's some selfish act the way that we think about selfishness. I think the point of thankfulness and the point of gratitude is that God has given us so much, and he's given us these things to enjoy, these earthly blessings. You know, enjoyment is maybe something that as Christians, we're allowed to enjoy the things that God gives. But our enjoyment is increased when we connect that enjoyment to God. So for instance, you know, if I'm walking down the street and I see a little piece of paper that says, I love you, Daddy, I might stick a piece of gum in it because it means nothing to me. I don't know who wrote this letter. I don't know where it comes from. Now, if my daughter comes in and she has this little piece of paper and perhaps it's a little misspelled, but I love you, Daddy, I'm not going to wrap my gum in it. I'm going to cherish it just like dads do. I'm going to hang it on my wall. I'm going to tuck it away in a drawer, because in the recognition of who has given this to me, my enjoyment of the very gift that is given is increased. And I think that's the way that Thanksgiving is to function in our lives. Again, not to say it disrespectfully, but God's not this grumpy grandpa. Mm-hmm. Rather, our thankfulness abounds to a greater enjoyment of what God has given us, whether it's material blessings, whether it's spiritual, whether it's temporal, whether it's eternal. And so as we come to worship, as Scott said, oftentimes, you know, remember, it's me that has done this. You know, and as psalm singers, it fills the psalms, how much we thank the Lord. You know, that's one of the things when I became a psalm singer that really struck me. You know, I think of Psalm 144, where we sing about and we're thankful for cattle and for grain bins that are full, but then how that psalm ends on, you know, happy are those people whose God is the Lord. And so thankfulness ought to fill our praises. It ought to fill our prayers. You know, I don't know, cliche things don't always connect with me, but you know, a lot of people in our prayer lives have heard of that acronym ACT, or ACTS, right? Adoration, mm-hmm. Confession, Thanksgiving, and Supplication. And I actually think it's a very, very helpful model for prayer, and how much the T, the thankfulness, needs to be emphasized in our prayers. You know, what do we have that we haven't received? And how much more we need to be thankful for those things that God has given. Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking along those lines with respect to our directory for worship and how often it talks in the directory of the need to give thanks. It, just what you're pointing out to Kyle, it talks about how prayers and a worship service will include adoration, thanksgiving, confession of sin, and intercession. So that's exactly what it says. It's Acts, although it doesn't have it in the same order or the same words. But it's the important part of worship. And then as it talks even about the prayer of intercession, it talks about how in the prayer of intercession, we should be giving thanks to the Lord for being our mediator and atoning for our sins. And in the communion service, we should conclude that with a prayer of thanksgiving. And I often, back when I was ministering in Indiana, in our communion services, that would be how we would end communion, with just the congregation often sharing things that they were thankful for. And I just remember how joyful and how it just filled us with the rest of us, hearing another brother or sister express something they were thankful for, how that helped us as well. And then just praying over the good things that the Lord was doing for his people. And then let's talk about this a little bit. As we think about the subject of Thanksgiving, you mentioned, Kyle, that your church has often had Thanksgiving Day services. We're in the Reformed churches that talk a lot about the importance of the Lord's Day, and you kind of made a joking reference at the beginning about holidays. And
joking?
Joking? where does a Thanksgiving service factor in to perhaps Reformed liturgy and how we think about calling the church to a service like that? How would you justify that? And differentiate that perhaps from other special services that people would get maybe more up in arms about with respect to it being a holy day. And my purpose in asking this is to free us so that we can worship the Lord freely. So that's why I'm asking this question.
So I'm sure Kyle can pull this right off the top of his head. I believe in our confession of faith, our testimony, our standards, we have in there that it is right and proper to call for special days of worship, for Thanksgiving. And I do think it's proper to do that, to remember, to call the congregation, to call believers to a day of remembrance of what the Lord has done, kind of like what happened in our nation several hundred years ago, being thankful to the Lord for, his provision, allowing us to, allowing our forefathers to make it through the winter, to have a harvest. I think those are good reasons and good necessary reasons to call people together to do this. And I could be wrong. I don't think it's wrong to have a special day of Thanksgiving on the Lord's Day. I think it's it would be a good thing to do. But maybe I could be corrected, Kyle, and you can do that if you want to.
Oh, I would never. So, no, Scott's right. Even the Westminster Confession of Faith, which, if we're going to be historically fair, those who wrote the Confession of Faith would have been opposed to what we typically think of as holidays. And yet they understand in the chapter on religious worship, there is a time and a place for Thanksgiving upon several occasions, I think is the language. And they'll use, for example, Esther chapter 9 with the establishment of Purim, this time for civil and even religious Thanksgiving. I've often thought of Jonah chapter 3, which of course isn't Thanksgiving, but as Jonah the prophet comes to Nineveh, the king issues an edict that the entire nation is to fast and to dress themselves in sackcloth and to repent. And we understand that's within the civil magistrate's prerogative to establish these times. And we pray that he would, we pray that seasons of fasting and seasons of Thanksgiving. And personally, just to throw this in there, I think that's one of the unique things about Thanksgiving. Mm-hmm. Thanksgiving is still carried out in our land by a presidential edict. I don't remember, was it Abraham Lincoln who was the first president to do it? But whatever it is, the tradition is our civil magistrate calls our nation to a day of Thanksgiving. I think we should probably give a little more thought to that. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, I just was sharing in a class with my students as we are wrapping up a quarter here, and I showed them the 1612 Ainsworth Psalter that the pilgrims brought over. And we actually sang Psalm 100 from that just to, it was just unique to connect yourself to thinking about those who came across the ocean at risk in order to worship God freely. And then, you know, had that day where they celebrated that time, I should say, where they celebrated and thank God for preserving them and for bringing in a harvest. And it was just, it's just a fascinating heritage that we have. And we should be grateful for that, that this is still encouraged in our land. And often, not every president, but a number of the presidents that will have a special Christian emphasis to it, which I think is encouraging to read and to hear. Well, we're getting pretty close to the end. And one of the ways I just wanted to wrap this up, we talked earlier about the children and how important it is and how easy and natural it is for the kids often to give thanks. And maybe as we get older and more crotchety, not so much. And it's good to be like children. So I just wanted to give you guys the opportunity in light of our podcast here with our listening audience of who knows how many, to just offer a little bit of thanksgiving from your own perspective, your own life, because I do think this is an important thing for us to be doing in the church. And maybe if nothing else, we can encourage it by way of a little bit of an example here. So what are some of the things you guys are particularly grateful for? They can be general, in terms of the big things of life, but maybe there's some particular things just now, right now, that are going on in your life you're grateful to God for.
Well, it's super awkward, Barry. Wish you had given us some forewarning. I think, you know, for me, as I look forward to Thanksgiving, I've been reflecting personally just a bit. 2020 has been a bad year, I think, for everybody. You know, I know few people who are probably going to look back with a ton of joy on 2020. And yet I still think that there are things to be thankful for, even in the context of this. So for instance, I think as Christians, we need to rightly discern that this pandemic and this virus is from the hand of God, calling very wayward people to repentance. You know, we saw the way in which COVID has crippled every god of our culture, from education to the economy to sports to, you know, whatever it is. And I think it's a good time for us to reflect seriously on that, but also as the church to be thankful, he continues to preserve us. You know, we have seen even in this year, God is fulfilling his promise from Genesis chapter 9, that he will continue to preserve the created order so long as Christ is filling up the role of his elect. As long as Christ has a work to do on planet Earth, God's going to preserve Earth in order that the whole church might be gathered. So that's personally just off the cuff. That's one thing I've been thinking about as we come to this Thanksgiving season. You know, what a thing that even here, God is preserving. Seasons are still changing. Night and day are still occurring. And that's because God's promised to, as an expression of his faithfulness to his people.
Kyle and I had to quarantine the campus for a couple of weeks because of an outbreak of corona this fall. And we came back, you know, I'd heard a little bit of rumblings of our practices, what we're doing and all that. And I just reminded the students how important it is. When we see God's hand of judgment, it's not a time to complain, but it's a time to give thanks and humble ourselves before him. So I really think what you're saying is very important for us to be doing at this time.
Yeah. And you know, I'm not the most technologically savvy person.
We know.
Obviously, but I'm thankful for things like Zoom, for Google Hangouts, these things that are making it possible to still be connected to people that you can't be around because of COVID or whatever. I mean, the Lord has been really gracious to his people. I mean, even this podcast, as it were, you know, we're in three different states, two different time zones, and yet we're able to meet together. And it's really like we're face to face. I mean, it's just amazing to me how good the Lord has been to his people. When we can't meet in person for church, we have you know, live broadcasts that are available, which is worship in exile. But at least the Lord gives us worship in exile, which is better than several generations ago would have had. So even in, you know, even the technology, for as bad as it is, for as bad as it has been used, I should say, the Lord has given it to His church for good purposes, and I think it's being used for a lot of really good purposes. So I'm thankful for that, even though I hate technology.
I'm thankful for Scott's cardigan sweater that's keeping him warm.
Well, I do think it's I do think it's a time to be giving thanks for God's preserving hand to us in the midst of this. And even you are seeing, I know that we've experienced in our congregation, a lot of churches aren't gathering or meeting, but there are places where I'm seeing God grow His church and bring some more hunger, people wondering what's going on, needing answers. And we could pray that this whole thing results in people turning more back to the Lord and bringing a revival to our land. So, whether that's going to happen or not at this time, I do not know. But I do see at least small signs of people hungering and hungering for fellowship and truth more than when perhaps this first broke out. Well, I think there's many things we could continue to give thanks for. We could probably create quite a list along the lines that those young children would do. I'm sure each of us, right, guys, would put our wives right at the top of that list. So we got to say that just to stay out of trouble.
We can't answer no to that question, Barry. How bad would that work? But we don't need to answer no. So
yes, that's right. So many things we could give thankful for, but we really do want to just end this episode with that encouragement. The scriptures tell us to give thanks to the Lord, call upon His name, make His praise known among the peoples. And we want to encourage you as you think with us on these things to make sure during this time where you may be with family, you may not be able to be with family, you may be in a church setting or not, but make sure that you are taking the time to stop each day and give thanks to the Lord. If your church is meeting and is able to meet, make sure that you're coming there with a thankful heart, because if you know Jesus Christ, if He's given you eternal life, then you have so very many reasons to give thanks to Him. Well, that ends another episode of Three Guys Theologizing. We're thankful that you joined us for, I don't know if this is a special episode, but certainly a seasonal one. If you'd like to find out more about us, you can go over to 3gt.xyz, where you'll find our website and more pertinent information regarding us. There's also, if you're thankful for the podcast, it is that time of year to keep just appealing to you to please support us. We are dependent upon that to keep these episodes on the air. So if you'd like to help out, we would be very grateful for your gifts. Thank you for tuning in to Three Guys Theologizing.